Diving deeply into aliveness, as deep in ourselves as we know how to go. Laying our heads there to rest. If we can't find deep today, we can find now. And let the aliveness of sounds and body even the aliveness of thoughts and feelings going on with a life of their own now. All that aliveness being received somewhere deep in us. Something that lets sound be itself. And receives that sound and lets it go. Clearly and simply, intimately, freely. Sometimes the aliveness, whether as a kind of sense in the background of your experience or the sense of the aliveness of these sounds or this breath or this hum in the lower belly, sometimes allowing aliveness to come into us, through us, is so touching. Letting life happen. Ordinary, exquisite. Deep. Simple. being touched.
Thank you.
Sometimes we go to the deep place that we find the deepest place for now. And staying there or coming there again and again, there starts to happen an inner atmosphere that might be fluid or light, or it might feel like love. Or joy, or some other kind of subtlety, spacious. And so letting ourselves, when that happens, leaving room for that radiating, opening out of that atmosphere from staying in our deep place, or from staying as now as we can, or from staying with our deepest wish. Letting that lightness or love or joy or space or clarity absorb you, kind of float you, soften you, when it may come, giving it more room to take over. Putting your head, resting your worries in the deep place, even if you think it's not deep enough. Resting our heads in our deep place. Leaving room for an atmosphere to come about from contact with deep place, which sometimes may go with feeling part of the body that's lower down, lower belly perhaps, or feet, maybe. To help us stay in the deep place. Inside us. Are there any questions or anything to say? How does this work with meditation?
Yeah, is it like, do you actually wear this energy out somehow when you connect again and again, or?
Okay, so Rose is saying that she has a question about the energy of story. And she's making movements of how it feels easy that the energy of story could pull you.
Yeah.
And then how does it work with meditation? Is it by dropping into not story enough times that the momentum of story starts to fall apart? Yeah? By practicing tuning in to not story, which could be through now, as we said today, so direct experience like color or sound or body, etc. It interrupts the habit, or by connecting to our deep wish, may there be peace or whatever, or by going as if under that powerful wave of story, going under where it's not the pull. Going deep. We do, in one simple way, interrupt that habit and give less energy to the story pull. But what else happens is that it starts to reveal itself why the story has the energy. What's the initial push to story, which we call deep insecurity, we call aloneness or lack experience. And when that cause of the story energy is exposed, so there we feel vulnerable, and we didn't expect to feel vulnerable, we wanted to feel strong. And so then we freak out and go away. But sometimes we just feel vulnerable and there's no other option. We stay and we don't know what to do. And a kind of life power happens to come. And we could see it as if, because we recognize it's painful to feel I'm alone, there's pain, a bare pain, just life, love comes in response to that exposed. It's not held in, so it's open pain, and so life comes. It's hard to stay there. Like, it makes my hair stand on end to talk about staying there. And so staying there means bumping in and out of there. But that's one thing, and I recommend that as like a small proportion, a small percentage of our what we focus on. More like, as a happening, we happen into the vulnerability and we happen to then be open for life's response to honest pain. And what that also exposes is it's painful to think and experience that I'm alone and not enough and not good and out and insecure, because it's not the deep truth. It's painful, it hurts, because it's leaving out a big part of life. And so then there starts to be an intelligence that gets uncovered too, not just pain. But the pain as an expression of an intelligence that I'm not only, this is not the truth, this is not all there is. It's not only insecurity. It's not only alone. And then the third thing that happens by practicing this way is we're not just interrupting a habit. We're not just in reaction to what's difficult. There is actually aliveness that we sometimes fall into, and it's good. There's goodness. Chogyam Trungpa talks about basic goodness in any sense perception. So that's one way. Another way is just staying deep. We're not particularly noticing a color or a sound or a body sensation with the breath or whatever. We're just going as deep as we can. Sometimes the difficulty helps us find deep because it's the place we can be. Everywhere else hurts too much. And so then in the difficulty, sometimes we can stay deep in a way we can't when it's easy sometimes. And staying deep for a little longer than usual, even if it's in and out and in and out and in and out, for 5 minutes instead of two, in and out and in and out, or 10 minutes. In and out. And we don't give up, we just accept that we're just in and out. But we are in something. There is some contact with what I'm calling aliveness. And being in contact in aliveness, something else starts to happen. That even if it's subtle and even if it's not nameable, it is something that happens, and it has a quality, it has qualities. It might be different for each of us, but there are certain qualities that might be more like spacious, it might be more like light or love or joy or calm. But there's a goodness, and from there things happen. Opening happens, releasing happens, story dissolving happens. And so then the fourth thing to say, again, to repeat, because we seem to really need to repeat this, is do not be surprised that story keeps coming up and keeps pulling. It will be strong. And you're not doing it wrong, it's just strong. And you just keep doing what you can. You come back if you're coming back. When I say stay, it doesn't mean if you're not constantly staying, you're wrong. You just come back. But if we can, like, come back into something other than story and reaction to story, but just something else that doesn't mind story. So we release the resistance to the story. And it's the joke thing. It's a little bit funny how strong the story is, how helpful the story is to make us go deeper, etc. But it's wider, a wider space, and can be loving. Loving the story, loving how it got complicated and how it hurts and how it's because of caring somehow that got twisted or whatever. Not thinking it, just so repeat again. The story comes again and again, and it comes in tricky ways, subtle ways, surprising ways. It's not our fault. But we can keep giving in to something else when we can. And we can keep disbelieving the judgment that I'm not doing it right, or this is a specially difficult case or whatever. It's just challenging, but it's simple in each moment. anything else? Would anyone else like to say anything?
I'd like to say something. What she was talking about, because it just came to mind a few days ago. I had this dream that I went into a river, and in the river there was a very strong pull in the opposite direction, and I couldn't fight it. So I had to. Was so strong, so I had to go in that direction. And then I saw, wow, it's a huge, it comes from the mouth of a huge dinosaur. And then I went closer and I saw that the dinosaur is from papmaché.
From what?
From papmaché. It's
paper mache,
How do you call it?
Paper mache,
papier mache, just a huge, ancient, unreal thing. And that kind of reminds me of what she's talking about.
Good.
That is, yeah, it seems like a big thing, but actually, not much behind it. But still, the pool is there, no?
Yeah. Could you hear? Okay. Shall I try or can you try?
Yeah, was talking.
Okay. So, Petra had a dream a few days ago, a few nights ago. She was in a river, and there was a strong pull, so strong that she could only go with it. So letting go of the resistance to the pull also happens and can help. And going with the pull, she found that the whole current, so that means you were going upstream.
Yeah.
The whole current was coming from the mouth of a big ancient dinosaur. So this, if I interpret a little bit in terms of the response that Petra is also offering, that it is ancient dinosaur, like it's all of our ancestors' pull and story too. And so sometimes then that's like so big, and sometimes it's sweet to feel it's just our common story pull. But then she got closer to the mouth of the dinosaur, and it was just made of paper mache. So that's like, it's made of paper, a paper sculpture. So however big and ancient and strong, coming close to it, it's not dangerous. And in a way, it's not real also. Even if the current has a real way of moving us, but the source of it is not what we think. Yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you. So I would like to, the word plead, so plead, to please, to ask you please. To really feel and enjoy these last couple of days on the retreat, and to really honor the space in the hall that you come earlier on time and you stay to the end, unless you like have to run to the toilet, of course, go. But to really let that outer stillness trickle down into the inner stillness. And especially at the end of the day, sometimes it's a little confusing, so I'm just going to say it, how it usually happens. That we have the chanting, and then there's a few precious moments of nothing happening that we can just drink in. And then there might be a bell if I'm here, there might not be a bell if someone else is leading the chanting, but after a few minutes of just to come into your place for your meditation, whether you're staying in the same place or moving to your own place. If you're sitting close, which is really nice for the chanting to feel each other more and to hear each other more, but you don't have to. You might be sitting on someone else's mat, so you want to then go to your place so that they can have their meditation space. And then there is the half an hour meditation. So it's not a like leave when you want meditation. And it's really strong this time, this year, that meditation. So if you would please like leave at the beginning if you want to go to bed or do walking or something else. and stay till the end when the bell will ring, it's half an hour. So that's my plea. And if it can be out of enjoying that quality that we're, that's happening now together. Stillness and just giving space for nothing happening and everything happening, all that aliveness in the night especially. Does that make sense? Is it okay? Yes, please. Okay. Yes. It means om, which we don't translate somehow, like something that comes before everything else. So a creative vibration that includes everything and loves everything, you can say. And then it's bhur bhuvaha swaha, in all the worlds. So the traditional way is to say, like, in heaven, on earth, and below the earth. So in the darkness, in the shadow, in the underworld. So everywhere, even under the ground, that sun, tat savitur. So the sun that shines everywhere, so it's not just the physical, it's not the physical light or the physical sun, but like the sun, a light that can shine everywhere, that does shine everywhere. I marry that light. And from there, slowly, slowly, it even says in this powerful mantra that's considered, you know how, I don't know, maybe you don't know, but in India, they like to, as everywhere else. The best would be the most ancient and the most original. So it's sometimes considered to be the first original mantra out of which all the other mantras come. Even in that special, powerful mantra, it says slowly, 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 from that marriage, let's say, like, what needs to happen, happens. Any other question, problem, statement?
That's a physical question. So in the meditations most recently, when I'm feeling connected, my legs get really kind of
energetic?
Yeah, it's like all the energy down one might just, like, it feels like it kind of contracts.
Did you say all the energy down? So she's saying, so that you can follow. A question about meditation. When she's feeling connected, she feels a lot going on in her legs. Did you say down one leg it feels contraction?
Sometimes it's down one, sometimes it's both. It's kind of sparky. It's not really pins and needles, but it feels a little like the energy kind of all condenses together.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of flicks in a way. Mm-hmm. It's painful, but not painful, but it feels like it brings me out.
Right. Is it the same lying down and sitting?
No.
So what's the difference?
It hasn't happened in sitting.
Okay. And what's your sense of it?
I wonder if I need to do something physical. Like,
but not wondering, what's your sense? Just from legs as legs.
When I was listening to the reply just now, I did wonder if that was a physical manifestation of the same story. Or a similar story, but
I would have thought differently. So play with different options. I would have thought it's deepening, continuing. That's my feeling of what's going on today. Is that like going deep, sometimes we'll recommend the lower belly, and sometimes it's like, well, it's actually lower than the lower belly, like pelvic bowl. And I'm feeling today it's like even lower, like legs. So just being open to that possibility, that it's just deepening, continuing. And being open to something, whatever else. But so not the assumption that what's happening is taking you away from connection necessarily. If you, what happens if you relax with it? What if this is deepening, continuing to express in another way? It might be the assumption that I'm disconnected that's disconnecting. Let's see. Okay. Thank you.